The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio. Keep your mission on your mind, and your mind on your mission. This is Mission Minded with Michael Coleman.
Welcome back to another Mission Minded. Keep your mind, your mission, your mind. He is Michael Coleman, the CEO of the Heart of Alabama Food Bank. And of course, he joins us every single week right here on TKR, a show you can hear at least five times a week, wherever you get your favorite podcast. And of course, right here on our brand new Tony Curry YouTube channel. Michael, how you doing, brother? Everything good?
Doing great. Just got through celebrating Veterans Day. And yes. Very thankful for our veterans and all that they do and continue to do for our country.
Absolutely. It was wonderful, and we appreciate your service, because I know that you're a veteran as well. The Economic Innovation Group just came out a couple days ago and said that applications for new businesses in the first 8 months of 2023 are up 7% over 2022, and 2022 set a record. More than 5 million small business applications were filed last year. So found a little interesting article about what exactly people are looking for. First of all, before we get into our email questions, and we'll get into the five most Googled small business questions and they're answered as well. Why do you think so many people in this country are wanting to start their own businesses?
Well, this is just coming from my gut, but there's a lot of people who it's part of our culture that we grow up saying one of the great things about our country. Does our country have challenges? Yes. But one of the great things about our country is you don't have to wait to sit around and create a job or somebody to create a job for you. You can go out if you have any skill whatsoever in any particular field. You can go out and create your own job. And it's that freedom and it's that independence. And that's how our economy is set up. We love the idea of entrepreneurship. Now, there's a high success rate of failures or a high percentage of failures in the first year of running a business, because a lot of people become enamored with the idea of being your own boss, you know, working when you want to, whatever. Those people, if it's just, hey, I don't want to walk, be up under somebody's thumb, those are people who are typically not going to do well. The people who do well, who have, are people who have such a great work ethic, and they go, hey, I've got something that I don't want to pass off to somebody else. I feel like I can get in here and I can really build my own brand, my special expertise. And the truth of the matter is, you know, in our culture, we have so many people that have side hustles, to kind of borrow a term we talk about. And look, I've done it. I've done some consulting on the side. I've done some pastoral work on the side. I've spoken at different places. So that's in essence as a side hustle. It's just taking what I have the ability to do and kind of create my own thing. And it's exciting for people. And people who are willing to work hard can create their own brand and create a good living from it. And it's something that's really pretty unique to the United States as to how our government sets up to support that.
It really is. And knowing that you've done it, knowing that I'm doing it, I would say for people that obviously you want to have, and we're going to kind of go through some of these questions and some of these answers, and maybe you're looking into something that you really think has got a niche. You know, we talk about location, location, location. We talk about competition. We talk about equity. We talk about cash flow. I mean, all these different things that I have to come into a business. And I would say this, love what you do. If you're going to start your own business, love what you do, because if you're wanting to get out from underneath the thumb because you don't want to work for somebody else and you're working in an industry or something that you don't really enjoy, and even if it pays well, we always say, you know, I think it's like 70 something percent of people don't enjoy what they do for a living. Love, yeah. If you're going to get into a business, love what you do, because you don't get time off. you don't. Yeah, I mean, you just don't. And I'll use an example. I get a friend of mine who owns a Sneaky Pete's down on Highway 31 in Montgomery, Montgomery Highway. And every time, he's owned the business for 30 something years. Every time I go in there, he's working. Yeah. He's in his 60s. You know, he's owned that business for 30 something years but he loves making hot dogs. He loves working that business. I mean, that's not me. That's not something that sounds like fun to me. But he just loves getting in there every single day. He works 7 days a week. They don't take time off. His wife works with him, and it's just something they enjoy to do. And that's great. And I know a lot of people were like, I ain't working some hot dog joint for 7 days a week. That doesn't sound good to me. That's not your kind of business model. But it really, I mean, just talk about that. You better enjoy what you do if you're going to go off and start your own business.
Well, one of the questions it talks about here is a small, people are questioning, zooming, Googling on small business ideas. And I've seen people say, and of course, when you do that, typically the easy way is you're looking to franchise or looking for a franchise, because a lot of the heavy lifting's already been done in terms of the idea. But what I've seen so often is people go, yeah, I want to be my own boss. And so they do it. And then they end up choosing what they think is the best, maybe how much capital they have. Well, I'm going to get this easier or less expensive franchise, because it's easier for me to get into. And they put themselves out there, and then they get in, like you said, it may not be something that came natural to them, like have a passion for cooking. So I want to have something that cooks hot dogs or something. Or I just love having the people come in. You get into something just because you fall in love with owning your own business and being a business owner, and you end up getting something that's incredibly unsatisfying. And then you're into it for a lot of money. And something else that people are real quick to jump in this without thinking about, when the air conditioner breaks and the guy comes out and says, well, you need a new unit and it's going to be $5,000. You know, you don't get to turn to your landlord and say, hey, I mean, where's my air conditioner? That's $5,000 you've got to pull out from somewhere. And a lot of people start with such a low amount of working capital. That's why a lot of franchises I've noticed will tell you, hey, you can get into this for, $100,000, let's say, but you have to have $750,000 of working capital, because you've got to get the building, you've got to hire employees, you've got to have all this upfront money and cost that goes into it. And a lot of people just don't have that or not willing to put those kind of dollars at risk. And So I just really encourage, like you said, you got to love it. And I love business. I like supporting local businesses, but you really got to think about how all the responsibility falls to your shoulders when something goes bad. If something goes bad from employees, if a liability costs, when somebody falls down in your store, now they're coming after you and your family and your retirement and everything. I mean, there's so much risk involved, but there's also tons of reward with being your own boss and building something with your name on it.
I've seen businesses succeed and fail in both scenarios, but what do you think is the best route to go? Start organically green, start something small. You talk about someone that started a small little shack, and next thing you know, they build out and over the course of 15, 20 years, or maybe 5 years, or depending on how successful, they turn it into a very profitable business. Or going out and asking for investors and getting that capital. I was driving through Easley, South Carolina this past week, and I have never seen, it must have been 18, 19 miles of one business after another, after another, after another. I've never seen anything like it. I don't know if anyone's ever driven through Easley, South Carolina. And as an old person, of course, I'm reading every, old people read everything along the sky. And I'm sitting there with my son. He's like, why are you reading? And I said, I cannot believe how many businesses I'm seeing. Everything from mom and pop little farm shacks on the side to lighting stores to smoke shops to a vape shop. I could not believe I must have seen 100,000 businesses over the course of an 18 mile stretch. And I'm thinking, how are these businesses making it? And I like to think of is, are they starting off with a little idea and turning it into something bigger? Or are they going out and getting a couple of $100,000 in investment money, building it out and making it look right, and then trying to build it from there? Is there a right or a wrong way of doing that?
Well, I think, and I mentioned this on a few other podcasts, is to me, it all starts with the business plan, because what the business plan does is it in the business plan, you determine, okay, this is what I want to do. Then you have to determine, are you in a place that has a market for that? Because it doesn't matter how good the food is, or it doesn't matter how good the service is, whatever it is. if you don't have, if you're not in a market or you're not going to market to a community that has that need, lots of times you can come aboard, you can invest all this money, and then you got crickets. Again, not because you're a failure, but you've opened this in the wrong place. It requires X amount of customers, and maybe you didn't plan, how do I market this effectively? How do I grow my business? I've seen people sometimes jump in and just think, well, I'm gonna go ahead and invest in a brand new building. I'm gonna start from the top. Everything's gonna be top notch and brand new and shiny. Mm-hmm. And people, so you put all this upfront capital, and then your business plan is all, or your business model or your business plan is off. It's not jiving with where you're setting up and what you're doing. And so I think it's a mistake unless you do the research up front and you're like, I'm bringing a service that's desperately needed. I've done the market research. I know that people are going to be knocking down my door. So maybe you do want to start off with building a building big enough that allows you to expand. If you already know that's going to happen, and you've seen that with some people, that they get into it. And before they even get the business going, they're just overwhelmed with demand. And so they're already looking at how do we expand, or how do we open up a second location? But I would say that's really the exception rather than the rule. Most people should really focus on minimizing cost up front until you can actually test whether your product and whether your service is selling in its market. Then once you determine that, yes, hey, I can do this. Yes, people are responding. I'm getting return customers, all of that kind of stuff. And then it's a matter of, well, I've got the bandwidth. If I grow capacity, then I've already got the customer base. So the customer demand should drive expansion, not going in wholeheartedly. Now, there's some things that, you know, like if you're getting a franchise or something, there's going to be minimum franchise requirements of what your building looks like. I mean, so there's going to be minimum investment that's required by the franchise agreement. But I'm talking about if you're just Joe Blow and you're like, I am a master carpenter and I'm going to start my own business. You don't necessarily go out and buy all brand new tools and wipe out Lowe's and Home Depot for all the brand new tools and then go build a big building and have customer, you know, you grow into it, you get your name out there. And then once you've got a 3-month waiting list, then that's when maybe it's time to hire somebody. Maybe it's time, because now you start losing money.
Yeah.
Because people won't wait on you. They'll go to somebody else. So, but see, the market's driving that. And so lots of times we put what we think is a great idea out into play. And then we get out there and find out I've poured all this money and it's just lost because the demand is not what I anticipated.
Do you have, we talked about this, you know, it's funny because my daughter loves Starbucks and there's one on every street corner. And I didn't realize that Starbucks has been around for 50 years. 50 years. It's been around since 1973. And you ask people these days and they think the thing just popped up 10 or 15 years ago. A lot of businesses have been around for 20, 30, 40 years, and you're just seeing them because of social media and because of television. And it's just amazing to me. What kind of timetable do you give somebody when they do start a business, depending on what kind of cash flow and money they have coming in? And if you're just getting your bills paid, but you're not making the kind of money that you really want, how long do you stay in it? Is it 3 years? Is it 5 years? Is it 10 years? I guess it depends on who's doing the business and what kind of situation they're in.
Yeah, it all depends on, you know, I think it's smart that you go in and you always have a plan B. In the sense of not anticipating failure, but if you're putting all your eggs in one basket and then that basket, you know, doesn't make it.
Yeah.
So, you know, and it requires to really plan out. That's why it's good to have, if you're going to have seed money, you've got to understand that it's so much investment up front with the insurance. I mean, when we were running the boutique, we were renting the building. We had to insure the property. We had to, and then you get into all the taxes for employees. Mm-hmm. And then you had to hire CPA to manage all that. And then you had a cleaning person had to come in and clean your store because, you know, you've only got a couple of employees and that. And it goes on and on. Then you've got to, when we walked in, the boutique had really gone down in terms of the amount of product that it had. So, you know, we had to invest about 25 grand just in bringing clothes in. And so you're like, yeah, okay, well, we hope we picked out the brands that are going to sell and be able to sell at a return that we can recoup our money. But there were lots of days where you'd have two customers come in the day,
mm-hmm.
you know, and you may have 50 grand of merchandise sitting out there and you're just hearing crickets chirp. And so I had to sit when COVID hit, I remember sitting down with my wife and my daughter who were involved in the business. And I said, look, we've been trying to keep our heads above water now for months, but COVID has just taken the in-store. So we had to transition to online in an effort to save the business. But, you know, some people are like, well, let's just keep on. But if you're losing money, you know, the hope is something magical is going to turn it around.
Sure.
The reality is you've got to stay in tune with what your turnover is. And if you don't have somebody who can either help you or you don't have a clear understanding of how, and like, maybe this is just a lull this time of the season. Like January was always the worst month. So when we had a bad month, I would compare this month to the previous Januaries to say, okay, well, that's a measure. Yeah, we're doing okay comparatively, but we knew we were going to take a real kick in the jewels, you know, during that time. But it was when you got into the season where you're supposed to be turning in, you know, this is where we're really supposed to be picking up, and we weren't. Then we had to start looking at our business model and saying, boy, does it need refreshing? You know, is this just dying out? Is it an in-store boutique? Is it a location? All those kind of things. And so we started losing some money and just had to make, especially when COVID hit, we had to make a decision to change our model or we were just putting good money after bad.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people saw that during COVID as well. He's Michael Coleman, CEO of the Montgomery area. I'm sorry, the Heart of Alabama Food Bank. He used to be the Montgomery area food bank, a little slip right there. And they have rebranded themselves. Talking about rebranding, they do a good job there. We got Bite by Bite coming up here in just a few minutes. We'll do that right after this show as well. We do have an email question here before we get to the five most Googled small business questions. Terry in Irondale wants to know, she owns a seasonal business. A lot of places like to own seasonal businesses around the holidays. They are building little knickknacks and candles and Christmas stuff like that. She's having a hard time finding good seasonal workers. What's the best way to find a seasonal worker? We see that during the summer months a lot, and certainly during the holidays as well.
Yeah. First of all, I would just tell you employment is a huge challenge across the board. And so employees still have the upper hand right now in terms of, because in small businesses, especially seasonal small businesses, you're looking at trying to get by with maybe $9, $10, $11 an hour, typically no benefits. It's just, so what I would recommend you do is, and whatever the season your business is, I would analyze who is most available during that time. So for instance, if it's summertime, you might be looking at college kids home for the summer or high school kids who are looking for summer jobs or retirees. If you're off season or if your season, you're active in the wintertime, then that's you're looking at different people.
Mm-hmm.
So you tend to maybe go more towards the senior people or those, you know, and just understand that when you're a seasonal worker, you typically have to have a lot more flexibility because, you know, they're not making that much money anyway. You're like, yeah, well, I want you here. And, like when they have people hire for Christmas, no, you got to be here all the time, like UPS does every year during those kind of seasons. But in a smaller business, it's really not a launching pad to something greater. Some people will go into like UPS and say, hey, I'm going to get my foot in the door through this seasonal work, show that I can work, and then they're going to hold me over. And that actually happens quite a bit. With a small business that's just a seasonal business, that launch is likely not going to happen. So look at and analyze who's available. Maybe it's moms who just want to get out of the house some and have a purpose. Stay-at-home moms, seniors, things like that would be the people that you're going to probably get the best performance for for what you're looking for.
Some of these smaller businesses too, and I know they work off consignment. That's always a good idea too, because the business that's giving you the place to show your wares is taking a percentage, but you're also working your own booth. So they don't have to worry about hiring somebody to actually show the right things. The five most Googled small business questions and answers. I'm just going to go through these and feel free to give us and expound your thought process on it. Small business loans. Is that a good idea? Bad idea?
Well, again, it depends on what you're looking at. Now, there's crowdfunding is relatively new, and it can be an exciting way to raise money. The problem is with every bit of crowdfunding, if somebody's investing into it, the question is, what do they get for their investment? So you can do crowdfunding for as low as $10 a person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and people are, all right, I bought $10 worth of your business. What's the return on that? And you have to figure all that out. But you can also raise with Kickstarter and crowdfunding and all that kind of stuff with those programs that are out there. You can raise millions of dollars. So, again, it all depends on what you want to do and how much capital you need up front. And lots of times it's just safer to maybe go to the Small Business Administration, especially if you could get some guaranteed loans. And you just kind of shop those around to see which banks can give you the best rate based on those loans. But obviously the best situation is you can start a business without a lot of upfront capital needed, such as a skilled position like I'm going to start my own HVAC business, you know, I'm going to start my own carpentry work. Typically, you're going to have all the tools to do those kind of things anyway.
A small business insurance company compiled a list of the hottest small business trends for 2023. Home remodeling work, solar panel installation, smart home installation, home health care, fitness training, digital content creation, animal caretaking and training, and cybersecurity. Of course, the best small ideas is the one that's specific to what you want to do in that particular business. Small business ideas. Do you find that people that get into small business for themselves already have an idea in hand and think this could work in my area? Or is it going out and saying, I think there's a need for this. I really don't know a lot about it, but I think I can build something here.
Yeah. I mean, you see things like some of them, this is how both amazing. And this is a little sad in some degrees, but you can start your own business. There are so many lonely people out there. There's actually apps that you can sign up just like you can on, I'm trying to think, what's the one where you're on Angie's List?
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm a carpenter on Angie's List, I can say, so people look for carpenter there, they can see me and people can review me. There's actually apps out there that you're like, hey, I'm just going to make myself available for people to talk. And it's $30 for an hour or $40 for an hour. And so you schedule when you're available and people actually pay. And then you talk to them for an hour, but it just goes to show you there's almost nothing that you can't make money from if you just put your head and mind to it. And there's more and more with the technology that's available, keep coming out. It's just going to get easier and easier to do.
It's crazy. Small business marketing. That's something that a lot of people, word of mouth obviously is the best way to go because it's cheap. But talk about small business marketing. And is that something you need to look at before you actually start your business?
Absolutely. And I will tell you, it's probably one of the biggest mistakes that people make is they go into business. What's the most effective way? And like you said, word of mouth is a great way. Friends telling friends. The problem is if you're starting out something, you go, okay, I'm gonna start with a carpentry business or household remodeling or whatever. You got to do some work first to then, you know, be able to get the recommendations. And I will tell you, you can also get sunk by doing that because if you go in and somebody has an unrealistic expectations, you're new in the business, and you're let's say maybe you're not good at the paperwork and the details, so they come in and hire you to do something. You're like, oh, I got this. And you do it. And they're like, no, that's not what I wanted. And you're like, well, I put $2,500 into it. If you want something else, you got this big dispute. Well, that person's a key mover and shaker. And you're like, no, you got to pay me and get into that dispute. And that happens all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And then because you weren't very clear, didn't have it written out as to what the expectations were. And then they trash your reputation. But so just as good as somebody being an ambassador for you in a community, it works the other way as well. They can sink your business pretty quick.
I think the marketing aspect of it is very important, too, because you got to be ready for the marketing. If you're going to market, you better answer the phone. I have had a lot of businesses that said, listen, I had a window guy that was willing to put windows in my home. And I said, I'd be more than happy to go ahead and endorse your product. And I said, but you better be ready to go because I know you're going to get a lot of response on it. And guy never answered the phone. He was not ready for that marketing.
I've had buddies who, and that's why I talk a lot about, because I've talked with them about how they devise their business. So I had a guy, he was so cheap. Well, he was booked up for the next 4 months. And I told him, I said, man, don't you understand what they're saying? You've got more demand than you've got supply. So you need to balance that out. So you need to say, hey, I'm going from $20 an hour, $30 an hour, or $40 an hour, until some people are like, well, I can't afford that. But you still have people, because there's everybody needs somebody they can call to come fix something they've broken, something's done around the house. And I said, there's nothing wrong with marketing yourself of what your value is. And so people might say, well, $50 an hour to do carpenter skills is a lot. And you're like, okay, but it takes that skill level to be able to do X, Y, and Z. And I can come on time. I will guarantee my work. I have insurance. I have bonding. All those kind of things matter. That a lot of people are willing to pay whatever it takes. So that's what your market value is. But, and I know determining your market value is a little bit different than how we market it, but a lot of people will get into the marketing and they'll just put something out on social media because it's free, not even understanding the algorithms of that and what that does and what that doesn't do and the challenges overcoming that. Or they may put themselves in a trade paper, but it have nothing to do with what they're doing. So it's not going to the right customer base, or they might average create a commercial and put it on TV. But they're doing it. They're not doing it when the homeowners are watching TV. Mm-hmm. A lot of different things people mistake. So, and I do that all the time, because in the nonprofit world, we have to market ourselves just like a business. And so we have to say, how's our messaging on TV? How's our messaging through social media? What's the click rate on all that? But more so than anything, that you already hit it. You already nailed it. When you get somebody to call you because of marketing, if you don't answer the phone, or if you can't return their call in a timely manner, or if you have a 4-month wait list, you know, you're not going to get new business. I tried to talk to them when they had so much business. I said, hey, why don't you hire some guys, train them, and grow your business? Now you're managing these guys, but you're getting them to a level that you can trust.
Yeah.
And could grow, but that just wasn't who they were. They weren't interested in that. They're like, I like doing the work, and I'll do what I can do, and that's all. And that was fine. I'm always like, hey, how do you grow? How do you make it bigger? How do you, you know, because the demand was certainly there.
Small business grants. You talked about that a little bit, and then finally, small business credit cards. You have any inside information on business? And I see these Capital One cards all the time. These multi-million-dollar businesses that are getting 2% back, and they're building another building because they're getting all this money back from their credit. Right. I'm like, okay, that's not your typical small business. But any hints or any clues on credit cards?
Well, I would shop around, obviously, and do get, because those buybacks or paybacks are important, because you're going to have, in today's world, you're going to have a business credit card to pay vendors. You know, most are not going to wait till they get a check. Some will. But like when you're ordering material and you're, you know, it's not local anymore. You're having to order, like with our boutique, a lot of our clothing came out of California. Well, they're not going to ship from California on the hope that I'm going to send them a check. You know, they're like, no, you pay first. Mm-hmm. So you have to manage that. And so you're always trying to be competitive with rates. If possible, always try to be able to pay it off by the end of the month. I know that's not always possible, but if possible, do that, because that's how you avoid your interest rates, because as crazy as interest rates are now, even good credit cards are running into the high double digits, like, you know, 15% to 18% to 21%.
Email questions anytime, info@tonycurryradio.net. Send your emails. We'll read them right here on Mission Minded. He's Michael Coleman. Stay tuned here if you're listening to TKR or wherever you get your favorite podcast for Bite by Bite. Another great show we do right here on Tony Curry Radio.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.